Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. With me today is a man who actually needs very little introduction. He is a composer, a Grammy-winning producer, founder of Windham Hill Records, which, as a label, redefined the instrumental music scene across the globe, selling millions of records and touching zillions of souls and hearts, including my own. He later sold his Windham Hill label and continues producing dozens of other artists' works at his imaginary Rhodes Studios in Vermont, including his own albums. And yet he himself had not released an album of original composition since 2011. And that's why it's so special to have him with us today, not only to talk about his creative process, but also he has in his pocket his wonderful new album of original compositions called Positano Songs. And I welcome warmly Will Ackerman.
Thank you so much, Kara.
Yeah, you're welcome. So first of all, what's it like in your neck of the woods? I believe you're in Vermont. I'm in Berlin. How are you? You just released a new album.
Well, obviously I've been pretty busy. As a matter of fact, I kept putting my own record aside.
Yeah.
Did a couple of records with the band Flow and the Brothers album that was actually just up for a Grammy last night. Sadly, we didn't win that one. But there have been a number of projects that I got involved in, the four guitars. So there are a lot of things that I was doing in the meantime, but
yes,
it had been an awfully long time since I'd done an album of my own music. I had gone to the town of Positano in Italy on the Amalfi Coast in 2015 and did a lot of writing specifically for a new album. It's just that everything else got in the way in the meantime. But I resurrected those pieces, and that's what came out on this record.
And what makes you go back again and again to this lovely vertical village that's hanging off a cliff on the Amalfi Coast, overlooking the sea? What keeps on drawing you to her?
Well, you know, it is arguably one of the most romantic places on earth. And we know so many people there. One of my two closest friends on the planet, Carmine Pallone, is there. And, you know, that's one of those rocks in your life, you know, this abiding friendship that has been in my life for decades now. It's one of these places where, you know, I can walk into a restaurant and, you know, Da Vincenzo, when Enzo sees me, he'll just look at me and basically just looking at me, he'll be asking the question, am I having my regular meal? And,
right,
you know, of course, nod, and that's that. So it's a place where, despite all of the movement of tourism in Positano, we have dear friends, and so there's more than the town itself, but we're always made to feel welcome. You know, the waiters at Buco di Baco, you know, they know what table I like and mm-hmm. probably what I'll order the first time I come into the restaurant. And so it's you know, it is a home away from home, really.
Beautiful. I would like to share your music with our listeners. You open your album with the song Nighttime Chapel, and you've really captured the landscape of beauty for us. And would you like to set the scene for us? Is this the little chapel that we see on the album cover? Italy has so many churches and chapels that maybe it might be another one, but set the scene for us. Where were you when this song came through, or how is this chapel for you?
We were married. There's a village in Nocella. I mean, when you leave Positano and climb the hill, you get to Monte Partuso, which is a fairly substantial town. But then there's a very small road, which only fairly recently they finally paved, that takes you to the little village of Nocella. And there's a chapel there where we were married. Even being married in the church in Positano, you know, there's so many people moving around and the rest of it, we wanted real intimacy in this. And so we chose to go up to Nocella. You know, the trip I took in 2015 and going there at night and connecting again to those places in, you know, very solitary. It's a tiny village that, you know, I didn't even see anyone, but just going there and being at the chapel, in the dark and sitting and looking at the lights of Positano and thinking about the wedding and my marriage to Susan, which is arguably the greatest joy of my life.
Beautiful. Let's listen. Let's listen to Nighttime Chapel off of Will Eckerman's newest album, Positano Songs. Thank you. beautiful piece by Will Ackerman, who's with us today in studio. That was called Nighttime Chapel, and it is off of his new album, Positano Songs. Will, you say often that for you, music is not an intellectual endeavor, but it's about feeling. It's about being deeply intuitive, or an inner sense of tuning. And you also are exploring tunings. I thought it was very interesting. I was reading that you literally, but maybe you can talk deeper about your creative process with tuning, that often you just sit with the guitar and I can only imagine that you unwind with your guitar and your arms and tune the strings back and forth until you find a pattern or a tuning that resonates with the image that is in your head. So share with us a little bit about what you're seeking when you're tuning these strings in a different system than most people know it for the guitar.
Yeah, I pretty much every song in my entire history of recording, every song has had a different tuning, not entirely, but nearly so. Mm-hmm. I've been puzzled by it. Why I'm going to such lengths. And I think that I've come to an understanding, trying to objectify my own process. I think what I'm trying to do is to eliminate the frontal lobes entirely from the process. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know where a G chord is. I don't know, really it's terra incognita. And I'm only exploring, and the only tools I have at that point, really it's my heart, not my mind that's involved. So I it's a trick that I played on myself for many decades, and it's worked beautifully. But I think that's it. I think I'm trying to connect to emotion and not thought, and I've done pretty well with that.
You've done very well with that. Exactly. It brings us also as listeners directly to the heart. It allows us to sense that the rhythm of the heart. Guitar is your instrument of choice, as far as I know. You're famous for guitar. I've never seen you playing other things. You're also well known not only as one does wonder how you do it all, but you're also well known, or it's well known that you love carpentry, you love building, you love gardening, you love, being surrounded by forests and land. And for somebody who's worked so much with wood and smoothing the grain and stood so much in the forests that are surrounding you, what are the, how do I want to say it? Like, what are you drawn to in a guitar? Like, what would sing to you? Because guitars can be made from many different things. So is it mahogany, ash? I would be curious to know, what sings to you? What kind of guitar do you have? I don't think it's an electric guitar. You have an acoustic guitar. So what draws you to that guitar?
I've known Michael Millard for, many, many decades now. He lived in Newfoundland, he's now living further up, further north here in Vermont. We don't see each other as much as we did. We had lunch a couple of weeks ago, though. Michael is the builder of Froggy Bottom Guitars, and he was deeply into that when I first met him. And I consider him, really in a world where really there's just a small handful of your dearest friends, and he's certainly one of them. He's now making a guitar that is based on the one that I have used, and thankfully doing a very nice business with it. I what I need is inspiration, because I need a feedback loop with a guitar. I need the guitar to say something back to me that propels me further into exploring a new tuning. And the Froggy Bottom guitars, and especially this, Ackerman model, is just, I can sit down I think I could write an album every month. Anytime I actually sit down with a guitar and just let that feeling happen, it seems like I come up with ideas. And part of that is the beauty of the guitar itself, the sounds that it's making, because that's the feedback loop. If I'm not completely entranced by what I'm hearing, I can't disappear into a piece, because again, it's not intellect, it's all heart. But that his guitars have just always provided me that inspiration.
So you have one, like your favorite pair of jeans, you have one guitar. I have one grand piano, so I know the feeling, but there are a lot of guitarists that have like 10 different guitars, right? But I could imagine, or I was imagining, that you probably do have the one that you, like a favorite somewhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, I actually have a number of the K model, the Ackerman model. They have slight differences in them. But basically, there are three guitars that I work with, starting with the Froggy Bottom. That's what I call the basics. I mean, those are the bed tracks that I might build on. Steve Klein, who has done a lot of electric guitars for a lot of bands, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, blah blah blah. But he built me one of these really wide bottom guitars that I use for a lead instrument, because you don't want to be playing lead on the guitar that you are doing the basic track on. You want another voice there. So I use the Klein for lead guitars. And then there is the Martin Parler guitar that was a gift from Michael Hedges many, many years ago. I was at his studio up in Mendocino, and I saw this little guitar over in the corner, and I picked it up and started fooling with it. And Michael said something inane like, gee, I haven't been able to figure out what to do with this guitar, which, again, I mean, Michael could make something genius out of, you know, one string on a piece of plywood. But, you know, so in other words, it was a lot of crap. But, I nodded my head. Anyway, he turned up here at one point and just handed me the guitar. I think every record has at least two pieces from the Parler guitar. And I, of course, always think of Michael whenever I'm writing on it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, we're going to take a very short break, and then we'll be back and listen more to your new album.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me today is Will Ackerman. And we're talking all about his new album, Positano, a little bit about his creative process. Will, there's an ancient practice which you do so well, it seems. It's called placemaking, and it's the way in which human beings transform the places that they find themselves in to places where they can live harmoniously. And just like we cultivate the soils to feed us, we can also cultivate friendships and have friendships that nourish us and have communities that we deeply connect with. And when I was listening to not only your music but researching so much about you, it feels like you consciously are cultivating a beautiful space and a beautiful place to make the very finest music. So what does community and friendship mean to you?
This is a 4-hour interview?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Okay. Good.
Well, I can have you back next week if you want. We can do sequels.
That's pretty broad, my dear.
Okay.
Give me a target.
Okay. The target is you founded this wonderful first label, Windham Hill, which was a lot of friends, excellent friends, and then it grew very, very, very big. And as far as I know, you sold it and did very well. And you could have run away to a cabin in the woods with your beautiful wife and retired, but you continued to make music and produce, and yet it seems like you're very conscious that everybody you work with have not only a very connected heart, they're kind, they're passionate, they're good people, because you've created that home sweet home, you've created that homestead. Yeah. So there's a saying.
Well, you answered. Yeah, you did it very, very well. I won't have to talk.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, look, we're sitting on, well, actually, we gave a bunch of land to the Nature Conservancy, so we didn't have to pay taxes on it. They came to me and said, why are you paying taxes? And I said, well, I don't want anybody building on it. And he said, well, give it to us, and nobody builds on it, and you don't have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
That's good. But we retain about 270 acres here.
Yeah.
And, you know, have a rare thing where you have a wood shop immediately below a recording studio. I don't think that happens very often. But my first company was Windham Hill Builders, which was a general contracting company. And actually, somebody recently sent me a business card from that era where it says Windham Hill Builders /records/music BMI. You know, there was a time there where I really was running two very different companies. But ultimately I had to, you know, get on the music train and, you know, met George Winston and recorded him. Of course, my cousin Alex DeGrassi, happened to be on the building crew too. So Alex, who is a far better guitarist than I am, you know, was one of the early people on the label as well. But, you know, it was something. The label was something that was never really envisioned to be an enormous business. It was almost like a hobby. But I think what can happen with hobbies is that it's all about heart. I mean, you're just having fun and you're doing something that is rewarding to you. The fact that it grew into, you know, the mega company that it was, with offices, you know, throughout the United States and in Europe as well, obviously, it was incredibly gratifying. But also, you can't run from a corporation. And when a company becomes the size that Windham Hill did, you are running a corporation. And I think it's that mm-hmm. when I began to feel that I needed to back out and ultimately sold the company to Sony BMG in May of 1992. And I think it was the right thing. I had shepherded this and defined it, but I just wasn't really interested in running a corporation anymore, and bought this land in Vermont and built a house and the wood shop and the studio, and you know, it's just worked out perfectly. I can cross the front lawn and go into this beautiful space that has lots of air and light, which studios are not famous for. A lot of, you know, it's a very healthy place to work. And then ran into Tom Eaton, who has salvaged everything that I wanted from a relationship in terms of producing. He's the best engineer I've ever worked with, and he and I co-produce everything now. So I'm not sure I'm answering exactly what you asked me, but I think, you know, I think that's kind of the picture you were looking for. I hope so.
Yeah, maybe I'm very intuitive in my flow too. So sometimes the questions are, they might come out oddly, but you have also on your new album, you also don't only name places like the chapel, you also name important people. So it seems to me like the harmony is not only in your music, but that you're consciously, you're simply consciously looking at who am I working with, and are they on a certain wavelength that there's a friendship, there's a laughter, there's a heart space, and you can hear that in the music, right? And
you couldn't be more right on. You know, my partnership with Tom Eaton is what has kept me as involved as I have been. I get to cross the front lawn and walk into the studio and sit next to the most talented engineer I've ever known in my life, who I am now co-producing with everything, because engineers tend to be, they sort of lock themselves away. They're used to being sort of invisible. Well, I have made him very, very visible, because I have just been so solitary as a producer in my life, and it's just been such fun to have a guy to bounce ideas off of and have him bring me ideas that I wouldn't have thought of. So it's just been such a great shot in the arm for a guy who's now approaching 73. I feel so energetic. I just feel so involved. I'm just loving what I'm doing. And I think I really owe Tom for that.
Beautiful. You have a piece on your album. You mentioned her name at the beginning of the show, For Camina, a very good friend in Positano. I'm assuming she's in Positano.
Well, Carmina is a man's name.
Oh, is Carmina a man's name?
Carmina is a man's name, yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I read it and I thought, oh, it looks like a female name, because it's also Giovanni is also on the album. So Carmine is a man's name.
Do you have the booklet in front of you?
I don't. I didn't get the booklet from your lovely management. I only have received the MP3 files.
Oh,
so share with me the story.
I'll send you some CDs anyway, so we'll get that later.
I would love it.
But there's a picture of me and Carmine on my wedding day. Laughing our heads off. He's one of my closest friends on the planet. So
beautiful. So let's listen to the track then. We'll hear this friendship just radiating from this track, For Camina, and it's from Will's new album. Thank you. was for Kamine from Will's new album, and he's with us in studio. Will, you hear that on this track, this beautiful flow. You have said you do not own a metronome. Nobody plays with a click track in your studio.
That's basically true. I mean, we can, if you're working with a percussionist like Jeff Haynes, who's, you know, played from, you know, for, I mean, Joni Mitchell and you know, Pat Metheny, and, you know, the guy's locked. So, you know, when we percussion, we've got that. But typically we record the basic tracks without a click track and then fill in later. You want people that have a sense of time, but I don't want it to be rigid. I want, you know, I want places where, I mean, with a rhythm track, I'll start moving it down a little bit so that people can move a little bit more gracefully within it. And by the way, that last piece is on the parlor guitar that was the gift from Michael Edges.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, I love that. I remember my first album that I did for RCA back in the day was we were playing a duo guitar and voice, and then suddenly we went into studio and they forced us to work with click track, and it just about destroyed me. And now luckily I don't. I mean, and I found people that are fine, and it's beautiful because it's like the metronome is your heartbeat, right? And your breath and it's just very subtle, everything, but there is a time. I mean, it's not chaotic. There's an even beat. There's an even timing, but one senses one can slow down.
I couldn't agree with you. I want music to be able to breathe. There are sections where you want it to propel to some degree, but you know, and hopefully you have a sense, a native rhythm of that. I can pick up the guitar and play something for 5 minutes, and Tom tells me that I didn't, you know, move by a beat, you know, that I can,
exactly.
Do that if I, and I'm sure that there are, you know, slight variations in that, but I think that's human. Turning into a human metronome, I don't think there's any, I guess if you're a drummer, that's one thing, but if you're thinking melody and heart, you know, you need flexibility. So I couldn't agree with you more about that.
Although I heard a great story. I worked with a very dear friend and a wonderful percussionist. His name is Ronnie Krija, and he was on Sting tour. And it was often that his gift is to watch the breathing of the singer. And I think a drummer can just be locked in, or they can also it's like micro timing, but if you're able to watch the breath of the singer can start flying even more.
And, get that. I understand completely. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. Beautiful. I'm trying to figure out if we should just take another quick question. Maybe I will ask you this question and then we can either talk about it or contemplate it, during the break. I guess the question is about vulnerability. You have obviously the ability to put people at ease and to open a field where there's trust and where people can start relaxing into into that heart space. Why is it important to be open and vulnerable as an artist? Why is that kind of what makes us be able to find our true voice?
Well, obviously, you know, my music comes from the heart. It's not metal. It is about heart, it's feelings. And what I want to do is to be able to create a space in which people do not have to be thinking objectively. You know, their job is to go into the heart of the piece and find that and protect it and express that. So that I do not want them anywhere in the frontal lobes. Just, you know, that's what Tom and I are doing for you. It was interesting because this new album of mine, Positano Songs, it was the first time I had ever let anybody produce me, because I'd come to trust Tom so much. But it was such a revelation for me to understand what I've always tried to do for other people, but to experience it on the other side of the fence. You know, that I didn't have to be objectifying. I didn't have to be criticizing myself. All I had to do was connect my heart to the fingers and my ears. And to be free just to do that for the first time in my life was really revelatory. And only strengthens my belief that, you know, my role as producer is to allow these people to trust and then be able to give everything of their hearts. Know that they don't have to worry about missing a note. They don't have to worry about any of this stuff. We'll edit. We'll make it work. But it was fun to have that come back to me in the mirror.
Beautiful. We're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to be back with more.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Cara Johnson, and today with me in studio is Will Ackerman, and we're talking about his new album, Positano Songs, and his creative process. So welcome back, Will.
Thank you.
And yeah, you're welcome. I was going to, I don't know if you know this Little Gidding. Do you know Little Gidding? Do you read a lot of poetry?
I did when I was younger. I don't spend much time with that now.
Okay, so T.S. Eliot, who might be a name, he wrote these lines that was talking about the stillness and the waves and the two waves of the scene. Be heard, half heard in the stillness between the waves and the sea. And you have a piece on your album called The Tyrrhenian Sea, and the sea is... it's kind of special because it seems like it's a crossroads, that there are ships coming in from all over the world, that it seems to be a meeting place. Do you want to share a little bit more about this composition before we listen in?
Well, it seems like you did a pretty good job.
Oh.
Setting it up. I this is a good interview. I mean, all I have to do is clap and say you did perfectly.
No. I wanted to know, like, that's all I know about this sea. I haven't been to the Amalfi Coast yet, but I thought, well, then let's just listen to it. Let's listen to the waves and the silence.
We've got Eugene Friesen on cello and my producer, co-producer, Tom Eaton on piano and bass on this one. It was inspired. I'd had dinner with Carmine Pallone at Buca di Baco, and I just wandered down toward the beach. And there was absolutely dead calm. It was rather late at night. There wasn't a lot going on down at the beach, but all the boats that were just rocking with their lights on in the harbor, that's the picture I was trying to paint music with.
Beautiful. Let's listen in.
¶¶
Sounding into Silence. That was the track, The Tyrrhenian Sea. Exactly these moments of deep presence of silence, they open up for us there. How do you decide which themes you're going to write about, Will?
Oh boy, you're assuming a lot more intellect. As a matter of fact, the entire process is anti-intellectual.
My job, decisions.
My job is to get the hell out of the way. I'm not starting with a goal. I don't have any concepts. I try to be as empty as I possibly can be. And I might be thinking about one element that's something that took place in the last day or something like that, and there was a feeling with it, and I'd like to try to capture that. But really, my music is, obviously, I'm fairly facile with language and the rest of it. It's not as if I don't have a frontal lobe. But in terms of music, I want to dampen that as much as humanly possible. I want this to be entirely about heart and feelings. So that's my goal, to take the brain out of the process.
Well, you achieved your goal, right? I mean, many, many years of following your heart. And that is what fascinates me, is that it just seems like so much has been guided. I mean, I don't know if, I mean, because I'm not you, but when I just have to smile. Maybe it's good press, but it's like literally you followed your heart. You're sitting in a stairwell. A couple people give you some $5 bills. You end up in a studio, and it's a good studio. Like somehow you get a good sound, and then you hand it to somebody who kind of maybe knows, and then it ends up playing on the radio. And it just seems like it's so beautiful, right? In Germany, you'd say it's Bestätigung. It's the confirmation that good things happen to good people. And it's amazing to me that you managed such a big company just with a lot of intuition there. A lot of people might be pulled into evil contracts or just destroyed. And it just is beautiful to see how supported you've been throughout this whole process.
It's almost spooky sometimes. I mean, I sometimes wonder if I'm, is this real? I mean, can this really be happening? Am I in the Matrix? I don't think I really mean that, but there are times where I do find myself wondering. I mean, the number of coincidences, the number of just the most lunatic concepts, at a given time and deciding to go with it. I think I've been guided by being able to envision a lot and having, the strength to try to follow that. One of the stories that I really love telling in the Windham Hill saga is, I'll make it pretty quick, but it's the kind of thing that happens and has happened throughout my life. When I was 12, I lived next door to the Kilmartin family, and one day I heard the sound of an electric guitar coming from the Kilmartins. And in those days, you didn't even knock on the door. You just ran in the back door and went up to Michael's room. Michael was a couple of years older than I. And there he was playing an electric guitar, and I had never touched a guitar. And he then taught me a G and an A minor chord, which I think are still my two favorite chords together in the world. So now let's move to 1976, many, many years later, and I've just brought out my little Turtles Naval album, 300 pressings, and I was being sold only one place in the world, which was a Plowshare bookstore in Palo Alto. And I there was Michael coming down University Avenue. I don't think I'd seen him since I was 13 or 14. And I said, well, you're the guy who put a guitar in my hand, and I just did this record. And I said, come in, and I gave him a copy, and he called me up. He said, Will, could I have, maybe 10 of these? And I said, yeah, anybody, you can have anything you want. And, you know, I didn't, you know, it's like he wants 10 records. Fine, here. So I brought him 10 records. And about a week later, he called me up and he said, well, Will, here's the deal. I am the head of radio promotion at Fantasy Records. He was then promoting Creedence Clearwater Revival, which at the time was the biggest act in the world. And he had sent my record to a lot of progressive FM stations. And he said, all of the 10 stations I sent it to are listing it as heavy airplay, and you've got to get on the phone and, you know, thank these guys. And I remember the name, you know, Gordy Brashear at KFAT and Gilroy and John Kurtzer at Kazam in Seattle and Scott Clayton at Kink in Portland. And it goes on like that. I can remember Tom Pilicerto in Minneapolis. These guys, so I'm, you know, suddenly I'm getting this huge play. And I remember calling up Kazam Radio and asking for John Kurtzer, and the guy on the phone said, no, he's not in, but I'm the assistant music director, Jeff Hyman. And I said, well, this is Will Ackerman. And he went nuts. He said, who are you? There's a picture of a little girl on the cover of this record. There's nothing about you. We don't know anything about. He said, what are you doing on Saturday? And I said, well, nothing in particular. And he said, well, come on up here. And I said, okay, fine. And I drove up and I got to the station a little bit late. And he said, follow me. And I did. And about 25 minutes later, he pulled into a parking lot and said, okay, grab your guitar and come in here. And I literally just followed him. And he walked me out on stage at the Seattle Opera House. Understand that I had never been paid a nickel for a single performance in my life. And there I was at the sold out Seattle Opera House, 3,200 people. Yeah. Come to see. That's the first thing I ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it's just beautiful to see all the synchronicity, right? I know this just because I do know other musicians that just, you know, they worked very talented and they're very good and they're very wonderful. And then they're, you know, maybe they hit an illness or they hit a bad contract or they hit a whatever. And it's just, it's really, it's very beautiful. I wanted to close with this quote, which I don't know if you know, but it's a quote up in New York. It's not Vermont, but it's in the Green River Cemetery. And it's a quote that's guided me for a long time. And it says, artists and poets are the raw nerve endings of humanity. By themselves, they can do little to save humanity. Without them, there would be little worth saving. Ooh. And I want to thank you. Yeah, want to thank you, Will, for giving us a reason, right, to really stay connected with our hearts. Your music has guided millions of people. And I think, I'm sure you know that, but for many people, on long car rides, in beautiful evenings, watching sunsets, whatever, cooking, making love. It's your music that has touched so many people. So I thank you, and I wish you all the best for this album.
No, Cara, this has been great fun. I thank you very much for it.
Then we say goodbye, and for the next sequel, we'll see each other again, and then I'll have to invent some different questions.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks again.
Okay. You're welcome. Yeah. Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye.